Harness Racing, Victoria wide. RSN 927 is Talking Trots.
And g'day from JT. Welcome to Talking Trots for another Saturday. We've got a good card of trotting action at Cranbourne this evening as I welcome in from the good form offices out at HRV, Blake Redden and Jason Bonington. Morning, lads.
Morning, JT. Terrific to be here on this Saturday morning. We've got some terrific racing in my neck of the woods, Cranbourne. So looking forward to that, Baker. And some terrific racing headed towards our way, particularly with the Victoria Cup, not too far away. We'll discuss that a little bit later in the show.
Yeah, really excited to get stuck into that Victoria Cup and good races all the way around in the next week or two. We had the Navy Cup in Perth last night, some good races at Melton as well. So looking forward to covering a bit of territory this morning.
All right, so let's have a look back at the week that was, guys. And Victorians are flying the flag up at Menangle and taking back a bit of that New South Wales money back to our side of the Murray.
Yeah, we failed to mention this on the program last Saturday morning, but we had a couple of runners go up there. Brent Lilly took Kai Valley Blur up there. He won a race up north, and also big result for Courtney Slater, who took Good Time Heaven, who came through that Breeders' Crown series. She was so impressive on debut in Adelaide and then in her semi-final and final of that series. She's just gone on with it, hasn't she? She won the Evolution series. I believe it's the first of many Evolution series up there at Menangle. Got the job done, $20,000 race. So big tick, a couple of Victorians. Born went north, and I think we can semi-claim Milefield Marshall. Tim Butt, I think, is stationed in Victoria at the minute, and Anthony Butt drove, so we can try and claim the free-for-all winner as well.
I don't see why not. I do not see why not. I'm not sure that we're allowed to, but there you go. I think we probably can.
No one's here to stop us.
No one's going to stop us, correct?
Not at 6:30 on a Saturday morning.
We are running our own race, no doubt about it. But, yeah, terrific effort. And Good Time Heaven is, in particular, a really, really smart young horse in the making. Kai Valley Blur, we mentioned on gate speed earlier in the week. We know his level. He's a very good trotter. He's probably one of the best sort of handful to eight trotters going around in Australasia, or at least Australia at the moment. But Good Time Heaven's the one to keep a real close eye on, JT.
All right, October the 22nd, or the night of the 22nd, big night for the Trots, guys. Harness Horse of the Year Awards, the noms for the various categories released during the week.
They were, and both Jason and I were on the voting panel, so we won't be going through specific votes, I guess, necessarily, but it was good to see those horses all come out and be nominated. There's been some horses that have had terrific seasons you'd think would be pretty hard to beat in their own categories, but really looking forward to all of the awards, Bond, particularly Horse of the Year. I think it'll be a ripping category this year. You've had a horse like Wobbly, who had such a good season, Patacular, and then you've got the open class stars, say Lenny the Shark and Hector JJ. So it's going to bring together a few different types of horses, and I think all of the awards will be good to watch.
Yeah, outstanding. It's always a great night now for the second year in succession to be staged at Crown Casino. So a glittering night and a real good opportunity, or a wonderful opportunity for the participants and the owners to all get together and have a terrific night out there at Crown. And the two-year-old boys is going to be a particularly interesting category. I'm sure there'll be some controversy around that, regardless of which. I mean, I think we can openly say that it's between Poster Boy and Lumineer, and they did their best work at different parts of the season.
True.
So I think it was a 10-man voting panel or a 10-person voting panel.
Yep.
So it was just interesting to see which way they lent between Lumineer and Poster Boy, JT.
Look forward to that. And do they count the votes out a la Brownlow?
No, it is a jam-packed night. There's no time for the 3-2-1s.
And to be honest, this was my idea, though.
We would like. Are you the kind afterwards? But what's the embargo? Can you go and tell somebody after the horse for the year?
I think it's a personal decision.
It's a personal decision. It's one of those that I'd almost prefer never to have to discuss that.
I'd happily tell people.
Yeah.
People are going to get upset no matter who.
Yeah,
you
you're the kind of bloke that'd sidle up to the team that you voted for if they lost and said, "I voted for you, mate. I voted for you." But really, no 3-2-1s. It's a jam-packed night. It's very fast-moving. There's so many awards that you probably can't do the 3-2-1s.
I think it could work in the future, having after each award
a set of
anonymous tips for the actual horse of the year.
Yeah, okay.
So you could always manoeuvre it and put certain votes at certain ends of the night to make it close all the way through, but I think that could work.
Well, I think it's well known that the Brownlow's my favourite night of the year, so any time you can read out 3-2-1s, I'm more for JT.
Extra work for Craig Willis, that's always a joy. The Harness Awards of the Year. The sensational man. Your website's got a makeover. I had a look at this yesterday when I did a bit of specky work for Cranbourne. I think it's a nice, clean look, guys. What's the feedback?
Yeah, well, as with all these things, there's going to be mixed feedback, isn't there? And that was certainly the case with this. But I think there's a lot of just finickety things that will wind themselves out over time. But in terms of the look and the feel of it, Bon, I'm I'm very happy with it. I think they've done a terrific job, all done in-house, so contrary to some rumours, not money spent on it. It was just a freshen up after 10 years of the same website. So I think what also probably more important is that the back end has now changed in terms of IT. We don't want to delve into this space too much, but it means that there will be a lot more done in terms of form. You'll be able to find out more in terms of horses from standing starts. You'll be able to look at them all cleanly, horses from a mobile, things like that. So there's going to be a lot of different things that you can do with a new website, which you couldn't previously.
Yeah, change is hard. Change is hard. I'm a little bit older than you, Blake, and as we get older, a little bit older, the change becomes harder and harder. But I think all it takes is to have the new system around for a little while, and I think those people who are struggling with it at the moment will probably learn to enjoy it. And I do think it's a situation where they're very open to feedback. Harness Racing Australia, Rise, Harness Racing Victoria, if you want to get in, let them know there's something there that used to be on the website that I can't find now. I don't think there's anything wrong with giving the respective bodies a call and saying, you know, what can we do about this? And I think they'll be pretty open to that.
Most things are still. I would hazard a guess that basically everything is still there, though.
100%. Yeah. So, and
it's just a matter of finding it and how you use it.
And it just is a nice, as you mentioned, JT, a nice new clean look. And when something's been around for 10, 15 years, it's usually time for a little bit of a change.
Like you.
Yeah. I think you're right there with that, guys. But I do like a clean looking website that's easy to navigate and that the information's easily to read and digestible. All right, the Interdom rankings came out, and well, it's like being a handicapper or a grader. There's always going to be someone that isn't happy. What was the feedback?
Yeah, that was me this week. I think it's absurd, and I watched In the Gig with you, Bon, earlier in the week, and I think Hazy sort of went through the same thing, that 15 of the top 30 horses are Western Australian, and that's just factually incorrect. Of the horses that are nominated, 15 of the top 30 in that group are not Western Australians. They've been given a bit of a leg up by their home handicapper, and I guess that's to some degree expected because they're the horses they always see, they're the horses they know. There are a couple of anomalies. I'm not going to point out anything specific because I don't feel overly passionate about it, but I thought perhaps there was a bias towards Western Australians.
Well, I'm very strongly in the camp that no matter what anybody thinks, there should be rankings for all the major races. New Zealand do it, the Inter-Dominion do it. I love it. You know why? Because we're talking about it. It creates a very organic. Yeah, it does mean something because they're real.
You don't think that if a horse that goes over from Victoria to get a run in the race, they won't just bump it in late if it's not in the top 30?
No, look, I don't think so. We've seen it in the Inter-Dominion that you will get there. If you're good enough, you'll get there. You'll actually win your way into the race. For instance, San Carlo's 42. He's got a Victoria Cup to prove that he's good enough to be in an Inter-Dominion series, which of course he is, and I think he will prove it through that Victoria Cup. But you know what I mean, JT? I just think that sometimes promotion and marketing can cost so much money. This is an organic way to have people talking about the sport and talking about our biggest races, which is exactly what we need to do.
Indeed. Tab Fixed Odds Market has Lazarus, the ruling favourite, at 450, Chicago Bull 550, Lenny the Shark at 8, and then you're out to Myfield Marshall 12, and Tiger Tara also at $12. They're the top ones in the betting. If I gave you both $10 now, what would you do with that for the Interdom?
I'll leave it with you, Baker, first.
No, it's a very tough question, to be honest. At $8, I'd probably have it on Lenny the Shark because I know he gets around the track as well as any track he gets around. He's trialled well last week at Shepparton, so he's probably the one that I'd just have a straight-out bet on at $8.
We discussed this during the week. I think for a lash at a massive price, I'd go for Ideal For Real, who's in the market
right down the list.
Ideal For Real. Here we go. $101.
Yeah, well, $10, I usually bet in slightly larger increments than that, JT. So if I've only got 10, I'm going for a big collect. And I think there's no doubt in my mind, I don't think in Baker's mind either, if Ideal For Real actually makes it to Perth, he's no 100-to-1 shot.
Talking Trot, run of the week.
All right, talking of Brownlows, 3, 2, and 1. Dusty's the fave out. Votes this week?
We should end the program, Bomb, with your Brownlow predictions because you're so across it.
Yep.
But one vote this week for me, Audie Hare from Bendigo last Saturday night. Really impressive Australian debut. Led, I think A. Victor was the horse from Ember Stewart Stable. It was an odds-on favourite in the race, but Audie Hare was well-backed first time out. Very impressive. Ran time. Should go on to win plenty more races in Victoria. Have you got two votes for us, Bon?
Yeah, this is pretty close to home here. I'm obviously quite good friends with the Sugars camp, and Leonard S. is a really into Sugars Tubbs camp. They're a jeweled camp now out there with Lara J. Farm, but I do think Leonard S. is promising enough. Only had two starts, and to be fair, hasn't taken on the elite of the elite. Galloped when I think it was going to rip, absolutely let rip. We're in slightly different camps with that on debut, Baker. But last time out, you must admit, if it had gotten a clear run, it would have been beating Frankincense and Sergeant. I'm very confident of that.
True.
They're pretty nice horses. They're not, you know, superstars by any stretch of the imagination, but they're pretty nice horses. So I think if nothing else, is at least a good few wins in Leonard S.
And the three votes this week goes to a horse that is flying, Sky Majesty, for Laura Croslin and David Moran. Was a terrific win on the weekend, earlier in the week on Thursday. Was able to get off the pegs at the right time. Nicky McDonald started to drop out of the race, but look, got round them and was a really dominant winner. And Bon, this horse is completely on fire.
Yeah, and she's always had a lot of ability. She's always had a lot of ability, but she was doing things wrong. And actually, I don't know why, but she sort of had a reputation for wanting to turn it up for some reason. But she's completely turned that around. She's savaging the line. And at the moment, the Sky, pardon the pun, is a limit.
Driver of the week, gentlemen.
Well, this follows on, really, doesn't it? It's probably the culmination of a really strong start to the season. Laura Crosland had that double with Sky Majesty and also Charming Major on Thursday at Shepparton, and was, I think, almost leading the trainer premiership for the first couple of weeks of the season, Bon, and clearly he's just got a really talented team together. Hashtag's been doing a good job, and a number of other horses.
You love a boutique trainer with a good strike rate. We spoke on a good horse in the thoroughbred world to Will Clarkin last Saturday morning, and he gave us some wonderful tips. Small team boutique teams who are reliant on having a good strike rate to keep their owners and to keep their horses, they're the ones you want to follow, and certainly at the moment, David Moran and Laura Croslin, they're that kind of team.
All right, guys, we'll take a break here on Talking Trots on RSN 927. The other side of this break, we'll take a really good look at tonight's 10-race program at Cranbourne.
Harness Racing, Victoria wide. RSN 927 is Talking Trots. Across Victoria, RSN 927 is Talking Trots.
Welcome back to the program with JT Bonners and Blake Redden from the Good Form team. We've got 10 of the best tonight at Cranbourne. We kick it off at 6:02. This is a CO Bonners. There are no scratchings at this moment.
4, 2, 11, and 9, my numbers here. Seaside Beauty, I said in the form comment, her bark's a little bit worse than her bite at this stage of her career. Her reputation precedes her a bit more than it should because of the good breeding, the very, very powerful camp, Emma Stewart and Clayton Tonkin. But I do think this is a very suitable race for her. Gozo Beach, if it was able to spear across, find the front and then hand up to Seaside Beauty, which is a very, very likely scenario, Baker, would be the major threat for mine. Outside of them, Montenero creates some interest for Jane Davies and Nathan Jack. Has trialled particularly well. Nothing went right at its only go at the races. Wide second line draw here means it's probably more of a place proposition than a winning proposition, but it's clearly a horse with ability. It started short odds on debut. And Budding Caesar was a good run behind Nitro, Nicky getting the soft trip last time out. But I do think, once again, the second line draw means a lot of things are going to have to go right for it to win. So primarily a 1-2 horse race, I would have thought. 4, 2, 11, 9, my numbers. Anything to add there?
Not really. I just wonder if Sydney Vanderbrand has finished his 30-kilogram block of chocolate in time for Seaside Beauty.
Is this a Snapchat type thing, is it?
No, when he bought it for the Connor Clark auction.
Okay, 30 kilograms, I missed that, sorry.
You were away.
It's a serious block of chocolate. Second race for 4 years and up, COs over the 1609, they all run.
I can't believe you said, is this a Snapchat?
My number's four. Well, it could have been. Four, the kids these days.
I don't
four,
know, Sid.
4, 6, 1, and 7. I bet you don't know half people on Snapchat. 4, 6, 1, and 7. Dolly McLombo, it's crazy to say this with its record, its winning record. It's immoral here. It can't get beat, I don't think. Just spears to the front, dictate terms, short course over around Cranbourne. I can't see them running Dolly McLombo down or Dolly McLombo down. Second and third have thrown in two Craig Turnbull trained stablemates, Cause and Friction, who I think is the better of the two horses, and Yodel and Cowgirl, who of course has got the better draw, went really well in that 1150-metre race, or well enough off a very soft trip, beat Cause and Friction home. But as I mentioned, I think Cause and Friction's a slightly better animal. Outside of them, Sudden Explosion creates some interest. Dolly McLombo should lead quite comfortably, but Sudden Explosion has shown some sudden explosion at the start in its races, and if it was able to cross over, probably only 10% chance, but if it doesn't, then hand it up to Dolly McLombo, would put it in a wonderful position in transit. 4, 6, 1, and 7, Baker?
I'd have a small place bet on the Cobbler's Piece at $21.
Right. And it also, gets out all right, too.
Yeah, are you an interchangeable Mac man, or do you like to stick with one over the other?
Well, no, most of the time Mac, I think, yeah. Mac.
It is. Mark 3, though.
Yeah, but still. They don't call it Marker, do they?
No, I'm just chatting.
All right.
Third race, guys, for the three-year-olds at 7 o'clock over the 2080. We have a first starter, Idle Some Magic. Any intel here, guys?
Plenty of intel, but not much that can really help us significantly, unfortunately, JT. My numbers are 2, 1, 6 and 3. Gardastar's got a lot of ability, very, very green, can do things wrong at the start, hangs a little bit, but has shown good gate speed in its career. If it found the front here, I think that would be crucial, because I'm not sure there's a hell of a lot between 5 or 6 of these with regard to ability. She can do it because of the slightly lower profile stable here, Baker. Might be the one that's going to come out the best odds. And I think from that gun draw, it's going to be leader behind the leader in transit. It's got to have every opportunity from there. Ideal Some Magic, I know, is one that caught your eye at the trials. It caught my eye too. Look really impressive. It is taking on some with a little bit of a reputation here, but might just come out. It's definitely one where you've got to watch the betting, I would have thought. And Illawong Jerry, Scarlet Brew, even Muscle Up Major, I'd be throwing them all in some fashion into your early quaddies, but I settled on 2, 1, 6, and 3.
Yeah, never discount a Gary Quinlan trained young horse.
It's the only one I've let, well,
the outsider.
Have the field.
But no, I'm an unabashed fan of Muscle Up Major, and Ideal Some Magic has tried really well, so that's probably the space I'd be playing.
Play for value.
Fourth event, guys, wraps up the early quaddie. It's a trot over the distance of 2080. They all run, and Charlie Runkle will be a fitter for a very good first up second.
Yeah, and without doubt, I think you'd agree, Baker, the best horse in quality in the field. And it was a really good second, first up from a break. It was behind Hot Jane Bling, who is racing really, really well at the moment. So I think that form's going to stand up. Wide, extreme frontline draw is my only concern. I think they probably have to go forward. If they don't get the front, second up from a break, if you get exposed, how vulnerable does that make you? That's the question mark over Charlie Runkle, but a clear top tip here. Second and third, I went with Armchair Drive and Tenden, who have got form around each other. Tenden can really make a meal of the mobile start at times. If it was able to begin as quickly from the mobile as it often does from the stand, that would make it a serious winning hope. And beyond them, there's some X factor about Continental Lady. But Breezing Around's going well. Prosthesis can run a good race on its night. So you'd be playing wide and exotics, but I'm with you, JT. Charlie Runkle on top, 7, 3, 2 and 6.
Nothing for me.
Fifth event kicks off the quaddy. This is a hit of the country series, the Vicbred Platinum. A few early scratchings here, guys. 5, 9, 10 and 11 are all staying at home. I assume She's Magnetic will be in the red.
Yeah, and it looks like a 1-1 job now, to be honest. I think it's She's Magnetic to defeat Magical Delight. And to be honest, She's Magnetic, the only thing that was going to be a question mark for her was, will they try and bore it up her with What's the Catch, who often races on the pace in its races? It was drawn to follow through behind She's Magnetic. It would have been the concern. So now this is a dead set Morale sort of a job, I would have thought. She's Magnetic, and if we're going to play exotics, we don't want to take the $1.20, then Magical Delight should be running second. Beyond them, no other winning hopes. I would now be throwing Village Encounter in for third and Blissful Thinking in for fourth. 2, 3, 4, and 8, Baker, but this has really sorted this race out, those scratchings.
Probably. I wouldn't mind having a little each way bet on Mulgrave. He'll probably be $10 or thereabouts.
Geez, you'd want more than that, I would have thought.
No, I wouldn't, not at all. I'm happy with the $10 each way on on Mulgrave number seven.
Second leg of the quaddie, guys, is race 6, C2, C3 over the 2080. At this stage, all running.
I have found some value here, I think. Now, my numbers are 7, 8, 4 and 6. So 7, got to go Electabet is on top, but I think he's eminently take-onable. That's not a word or a term. She's eminently take-onable. She will go back at the start, I believe. There's a little bit of gate speed inside her. In fact, Some Dream Somewhere, the last five times it's drawn the pole, it's led. Bonjourno Boys is a go-forward horse. I think Gav will elect to go back. We've got to go Electabed. Some Dream Somewhere should lead. 2 for 60, who's a stone-cold sit sprinter and offered an eye-catcher, a Black Booker, gets every conceivable opportunity here so long as the pole marker takes it to the lane. We know Cranbourne's got that big wide-open sprint lane exit. So 7, 8, 4 and 6 are my numbers, but without doubt, I think 2 for 60 is the best value proposition right across the card.
Happy to take that on board.
Yep.
Third leg of the quaddie, guys, is race 7. This is 4 years and up for C1s, and it looks an open race. They're all running.
I can't offer a hell of a lot here. This is a really, really tough race, Baker. In fact, this is one of those races I'd like to see what your best value proposition is. I've gone with 10, 6, 1, and 7. Better Biagi's first up from a break. Greg Sugars takes the reins. I don't know whether he put him into the race or just come with one run. I think he might have a touch more quality than most of these, but look, it's a very tricky race. In fact, you have got one here, a former Tasmanian. You were very keen during the week. You were as keen right now on Ainsley's Dream.
Yeah, I think so. It's such an even race that I think, yeah.
They thought enough of it to bring it over for a couple of good races, didn't they? So,
correct, as a three-year-old. It's on spec. It's definitely a bit of a fresh hunch type situation.
What price would you need, Bakes?
Oh, I'd take $4.50. You know, if you're going to have a bet in the race, I'm happy to take that sort of price.
I'll take that under advisement because it's a tough race. 10, 6, 1 and 7, my numbers.
But a load-up leg for the quaddie, guys?
100%. I would nearly, I'm going to be staggering, and I never do this, but on good form, I'll be staggering it to include every runner.
Okay, on to race number 8, and we might be able to skinny it down here. C4, C5, Mistress of Illusion is obviously the class runner. She is first up, and when was the last time she won, guys?
Probably a fair while back, but it did trial recently at headquarters, and it was a really good trial. Pulled her way through the final half in sub 56 or so, or around 56 seconds. At least she wins her mine. I think she's just going to be too good for these. Mistress of Illusion. Don Pierre's the obvious X Factor runner, and you'd probably want to assess markets a little bit here, Baker. First up from New Zealand for Andy Gath, who does a wonderful job with these types of horses. Five starts back, it did run through a sub 56 second final half in its own right at Ashburton after doing some work in transit. So the horse has got ability, but Mistress of Illusion is really fast, particularly well suited to short course racing. I think she just wins 7/3 if you're playing exotics. And again, you probably have to include numbers 6 and 5, Baccarat and Marnie N.
You speak of her last win, JT. It was actually nearly on a year ago, but it was in a race where she reeled in Who Are You, who led, and she came from off the speed, and it was an
ultra
impressive.
A short trip as well?
Yep.
Yeah, she loves short course racing.
Ultra impressive. So yeah, she just needs one of two things to go her way, but she should be winning.
Yeah, when you look at it, look at her form in superior races and higher class races, she is the testing material tonight. On to race 9, guys, C0 to C4, so the classes being mixed here. Santana Tiger is scratched.
Yeah,
it's uppy. Top tier, Suppy's $5,000 up for grabs here. 6, 5, 7, and 2, my numbers. I'm not overconfident here, Baker. I wouldn't have thought. Murray, I think, if it gets back to its best form, is the one to beat. Team Whedon back, they normally don't stay out of form for too long, so I'm happy to have it on top. I think there's probably only 3 winning chances. Future Operator has trialled well since a disappointing last start performance, or a disappointing last couple of runs. And Good Time Rusty has also, I saw in the supplementary stewards reports, I think all's well with him after a very disappointing last start effort when he was well supported at Claiming Great, I believe. So 6, 5, and 7 on top as the 3 key winning chances. Threw in 2 and 3 is the only other chances if you're playing exotic. 6, 5, 7, and 2.
I think Dean King does a terrific job with a pretty small team, so I'd be happy to have something each way on Beal and a Blath.
Number 2 in race 9, and the last goes at 10:30. It's a C04 using up. Who wins?
I'm not sure. 3, 2, 8, and 5. It's a tricky end of the card here. Our Safari Sun produced an eye catcher and was kept safe enough in a very moderate race this one last time to suggest that they think it's not too far away from breaking through. So I've got it on top of Midnight Rattler, who was actually pretty good first up from a break at Warrigal, where it had to go via the Cape. I think that was a better run than the 6th that placing on paper might make it appear. Coco Lombo is an interesting runner now with Team Spiteri. It's got the best overall record in the race, a 5-time place getter in a race where most of them haven't run too many drums. And number 5, Fill My Pockets, is the best beginner in the race, and that could be worth its weight in gold, Baker, if it's able to spear across and find the top over the 1,609-metre journey.
I can add no more.
Okay.
Best bet time, guys?
3 of them, and you're going to have to multi them up here without any question. Race 2, number 4, Dolly Mark or Dolly McLumbo, depending on your particular preferences. Race 5, number 2, She's Magnetic, who's now going to be much shorter with the scratching of What's the Catch. And race 8, number 7, Mistress of Illusion. But as I say, from a best value perspective, I think 2 for 60, 20 each way in race 6 in the program, number 8 might be the way to go, Baker.
I'll go Mulgrave each way and also Ansley's Dream each way.
Where do we get the form, guys?
goodform.trot.com.au, and I'll be giving my game plan in just a couple of hours on just prior to a good horse as well, Baker.
Will you do a game plan for the Brownlow?
Look, I'm more than happy to. In fact, I might sit down with Nick Quinn and see what his thoughts are. We might see if he can offer me a bone there if he doesn't believe something I'm saying.
Let's on good form do a game plan for the Brownlow.
All right, we'll see if we can do that.
Well, surely Dusty, isn't it?
Well, I think Dusty should be winning, but it's not the way I want to play. I think there's obviously value. That those scratch markets, the handicap markets that Tav have put out, honestly, I could not be more excited. I'm going to need some real time and space on Monday to get through them all. But Clayton Oliver, I think he's getting 5 or 6 votes off every other player in Melbourne. I think he's the best bet of any team
off scratch.
No Melbourne player will get near Clayton Oliver, and I actually think he'll be top 8, top 10, maybe even higher than that in the Brownlow overall.
Before we go, Bon, you're not confident that Dusty will poll the most votes this year, are you?
No, I don't even know what the general consensus is, whether Danger's going to pull more votes.
But I don't think it is.
Okay. Well, look, it's just going to be a wonderful count. Can't wait to get to that. But hopefully we've got more money then than we've got right now, because we've got a big weekend of punting to get through.
And always remember, guys, the people that vote in the Brownlow medal are the umpires.
True.
I don't know what you're implying there,
hard to
Jackson.
Read.
Mm, very, very hard to read.
Good talk people, though, if there's any out
they
there.
They are great people, but we see the game in a completely different fashion. That's all I'll say. Talk next week, guys.
Thanks, JT.
Thanks, John.
Well played, guys. Thank you. Well, that's it for a Talking Trots. JT saying a very good morning to you. Johnny Bowden is standing by with the latest in the world of sport. And then Talking Trainers with Richmond's number one, a very excited Tigers man, Greg Miles, with Trainer Talk, and a big day out of Caulfield featuring the Naturalism and the Testarossa.
We'll be uploading the best of today's Talking Greyhounds to rsn.net.au.